Coverage. I am your host, Caleb Porzio.
And I'm your other host, Daniel A.I. Colborn.
That's right, folks. Before we even, well, let's skip the sponsor slot today because we got so much to cover, starting with A.I. Daniel.
Dude, did you like the surprise in your feed?
Did you, folks?
Yeah. Also you, Caleb, because I didn't tell you I was doing it.
No, Daniel, so out of the blue, Daniel messages me. What did you say?
I said, I don't even know what I said. I said, like, I just made an AI episode of No Plans to Merge.
Yeah, so he just shows me a picture of this thing, and he's like, did the, you know, chat, wrote the whole episode, and then some other app, like, recorded it, you know, all the, like, yeah. Just to be 100% clear, what you heard last episode, if you listened to that, was 100% fabricated by artificial intelligence, completely untouched.
I love finding a to-do.
A to-do, right. I love to. Oh my gosh, dude, there were some pretty good, kind of good bits in there.
Tech debt, it's like the lint in your pocket.
So what we should say is that the funniest part of all of this is that Jake Bennett this is the best, this is so funny.
I was in India just seeing these videos go fast.
We have this little chat between Michael, Jake, and us, and Jake like throws up a, you know, like a video thing. If he's in his car, he's driving, he's like, dudes, so that last episode, I just realized that
it took me like halfway through until I realized you guys were reading something.
Yes. So he thought that we were reading some AI thing. He like realized kind of the joke halfway through. And then I think he thought like we were like, dude, the whole thing's AI. And then he recorded this video. It was like, no way. And then he thought we were messing with him. So he records another video and he's like, you guys got me. You freaking got me. He's like, I should have known. It was hilarious. So Jake's going back and forth with himself. And then we're like, no, Jake, seriously.
Seriously, then, it was all AI.
And then we decided that Jake's going to be the first one, you know, to go with AI robots. Like, when they come, Jake is
like
screwed.
The opposite of a CAPTCHA. He's like the anti-CAPTCHA.
Yes.
Jake is the Turing test.
Yep. Oh, man.
That was
Jake,
so funny.
Jake, you're in for a good fooling big time.
Yeah, dude. The next 10 years are going to be wild.
You're
for
screwed,
you, bro.
Man. Oh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so sweet Jacob Bennett. We love you so much. So sorry for
doing a joke on you.
So sorry for just, you know, making you the butt of this joke, kicking you right in the schnitz.
It was so funny. But, dude, that was crazy. Like, so 11 Labs is this like new thing, and I had to judge a hackathon for Laricon India.
Interesting.
So one of the sponsors of Laricon India put up some money for like a prize pool for a hackathon.
Okay.
And he basically was like, you have to use Grok, which is like Elon's AI,
yeah,
and 11 Labs, which is this thing that is basically like text to speech, speech to speech AI.
Okay.
And it's crazy. And so it comes with several hundred pre-trained voices that you can use.
Okay.
But you can also train a voice from audio material. And so I trained my voice. You'll notice my voice sounds kind of echoey and shitty in the last one. It's because I literally opened my MacBook and talked for 60 seconds.
That's crazy.
And like, that was what I trained my voice from.
That's insane.
And then yours was trained from a recent 5-minute episode of Notes on Work,
okay,
which I just like uploaded.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was all of the input it had. And then I had ChatGPT write so I gave ChatGPT two prompts. So I said, write a 3-minute episode of No Plans to Merge.
Yeah.
And it did. It knew both of us, Daniel and Caleb. It knew it was a tech podcast.
Yep. Like,
whatever. It didn't get the like intro where it was like, I'm Caleb Porzio, I'm your host, Daniel Colborn. Mm-hmm. This episode is brought to you by. So then I had a second prompt where I said, Daniel and Caleb usually start the podcast with, I'm your host, Caleb Porzio, I'm your other host, Daniel Colborn. And then they invent a fabricated, funny sponsor.
Nice.
And so I just added that and then it generated the whole thing. So cool. It came up with a sponsor for Recursify.
Yeah.
Why do it once when you could do it infinitely?
That was funny. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
That's great.
Yeah. But yeah, I was absolutely gobsmacked.
Totally. They don't know if this is AI.
That's the whole thing.
They have no idea.
Yeah, and after the show, I have a to-do to ask them if it is AI.
Right. That's the tell, the to-do. If we say to-do, like, it's AI.
Yeah. Actually, Caleb, we should swap out the part where we said to-do
and put in and to-do.
Replace it with to-do.
I love it. Yes.
We have like two jokes.
Yeah, I know. We used to have more. We just forget them.
We forget all of our own jokes.
I forget all of the bits. I don't remember any of the bits except that bit.
I don't remember a single goddamn bit.
Yeah. Well, at least Todu is a bit now. It's kind of.
Remember the year-long camping arc?
No.
We had a whole arc where the show was just about like camping and tying knots.
Oh, really?
Anyway.
Dude, I need to get back into knots, man.
Yeah. Captain tying knots. Anybody needs some knots tied, they come to him.
You missed some good knot content. I'm just going to leave it at that. But there is, I will say, before we get into the actual interesting things like your journey to Laracon India and running a business and everything, I have three things to say. I've been making bread and it's been really fun in a Dutch oven, which I just learned is when you fart under a blanket and you pull it over your head or presumably someone else's head.
I think it's someone else's
head. You're not looking at a Dutch oven yourself.
It's something I do for fun.
So yeah, so I got a Dutch oven, and which has solved my bread making issues, getting a Dutch oven. And okay, so there's that, which is fun. But the other, you've heard all this stuff, but I just need to say how excited I am to your face about Google SketchUp in my Oculus or Meta Quest is blowing my freaking mind.
Can you tell me about it? Because I saw you did some tweets, but I didn't look into it because I was on planes.
You want to do a renovation in your house, right?
I kind of want to sell it and move on.
You want to build fresh, right? After you sell it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to build fresh. You design your dream house in Google SketchUp.
Sure you do.
You pay a bunch of money for SketchUp Pro.
Uh-huh.
You hit publish, and then you put on your MetaQuest. You download. You just search in the app thing, SketchUp. You download a thing. You log in, and then it's right there. And you click on it, and it's sitting in a table in front of you in VR, which is pretty cool. And you take this little map thing, and you drop it. And then it puts you like Google Street View inside of your model and it's to scale. So if you design your thing to scale, it's to scale and you just tell it your height and then it just knows. And now you're literally in the freaking model. I can't even believe it. Like Daniel,
that's crazy.
It's ruining my brain. Like I design something and go, I don't know about this closet. Is there enough space? I can go in it in my office. I can go in and reach into the closet and test shit. It's nuts. It's nutty. Yeah, this has designed my bathroom because I know there's enough leg room in front of my legs if I'm sitting on the can because of this.
Hell yeah. Okay. Do you have a sense of if you're going to be able to communicate any of this to like a guy with a hammer?
Oh, well, I'm going to be the guy with the hammer.
Oh, you're going to be the guy with the hammer.
Yes. Okay. So that's
well,
it.
Then you'll that's.
But
solved.
Yeah, no, you can take.
Because like I can imagine like. You've got like an Oculus or whatever, and then you've just got like a dude who's like covered in drywall dust. And you're like, put this on.
Right. So
like, I feel like the downlink from like it's easy to get into the metaverse with this shit, but then to get back out
to
into
get out
the real
of the
world,
metaverse, it's not easy. Yeah, it's easy to get in the metaverse. That's true. No, and with Google SketchUp Pro, you can basically export your model into it's called layout or something. And it, which you turn into blueprints and shit, you can actually like have
also like why are you even gonna build this in the real world when you've already built it in VR?
And that's
just
the next question.
Stay in there.
That's really the next question.
Just go ahead and stay on inside there.
Absolutely. I feel that. So I took it a step further and I went in the attic and I like took them like half on half off and positioned the VR world on top of the actual world.
Oh, and you were just walking around
and
in
I was
there?
Just walking. I drew boundaries in front of the staircase so I didn't die. And then I literally like, I'm staring at this unfinished attic and looking at the chimney. And then I put the VR goggles on and it was like a movie. And now mm-hmm. I see the exact same chimney, but lighting and walls and like furniture and stuff. And I can like walk around and literally like touch a wall and feel mm-hmm. it. It's bizarre. It was messing with my head to the point that I like lost my balance a little bit. And I tried to catch myself on the bathroom wall. And I was like, holy shit, this is crazy.
Fake wall, not a real wall.
Fake wall. So... Yeah. All right. So that's those are the fun things in my life. Oh, I also I wrote so Josh Sear, I don't know his last name. He just posted this thing, bet on me. So I think everybody should just go give Josh $1 because in 3 years you might get $2 back, maybe $1,000. We should make it a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Whoever gives him $1 first also has to give me $1. And then
yes,
the next person has to give both of us $1.
There needs to be a referral program for this dollar referral situation.
Why are we
use Josh, our referral link in the show
NPTM,
notes?
joshsear.com.org.au/NPTM.
And for everybody who has no idea what we're talking about, Josh Man on Twitter, Laravel Space Man.
And YouTube.
He is basically like, bet on me, you give him $1, and in 3 years, however, whatever percent his net worth has increased, he will give that multiple back to you, your dollar. So you give him $1. If he has $100 in the bank right now, $100,000, if he has $1 million, you'll get $10 back in 3 years.
Wait, is he telling us what his starting net worth is?
We need to get that information right now. And the other thing
is due diligence.
How are we defining net worth, Josh?
Yeah.
And Josh, are you going to like tank your profitability so that your net worth sucks, but you have like a super valuable business?
I think the value of the business is in the net worth.
Is that though?
And
I wonder if that's how we can, and it's
at a 10x multiple. I think we have to say
two.
Like,
yeah, right.
Revenue at a 10x multiple. Yes. Like I'm invested. Like I'm, give me a cap sheet here.
Dude,
you know?
That's crazy. That's pretty freaking funny.
Dude, like I want this man to go into debt to pay me back for this dollar.
I'm like, dude,
I don't give a shit.
You're going to be on the hook, bro.
Dude, I'm going to show up with dudes
with
bats.
We're going to pump you up like so hard. We're going to make you rich and famous.
I'm going to secretly, I'm going to make like 1,000 sock puppet accounts, give this guy $1,000 and then show up with baseball bats and be like, pay up, bitch.
Dude, there's a way I'm not seeing immediately on how to like really destroy this and make a bunch of money on Josh right
now. Dude, I want to ruin this man's life.
Let's ruin Josh.
Oh, dude.
There's got to be
a
way.
It's over for
you,
brother.
Okay. If we make, right. So that's what we got to do. We got to make a bunch of
Can we just own Josh?
Too easy.
Can we get ourselves a free Josh?
We don't want that. We can get a multiple of Josh.
Oh, several Joshes. He owes us three Joshes.
I mean, this is what you were recommending, but this is so easy, Daniel. We literally make a bunch of fake personas. We invest $10,000.
$10,000. We could do $10,000.
We can do $10,000. We can pull $10,000 together. We invest $10,000. Then for the next 3 years,
family round.
We pump him up. Yes. We pump him up over 3 years. We like inflate his whole situation. Artificially. Yeah.
We get him to start an NFT and then we just buy all the NFTs.
Yes. We leave him holding the bag. But that's right after he pays us all back.
We rug pull him.
We inflate all the numbers. He pays us back a multiple on our $10,000. So let's say 100.
He was going to rug pull us, but we're going to rug.
Dude, I swear we could make $1 million off Josh right now.
We're too smart for you, Josh. You can't rug pull us. We're going to rug pull you.
We're going to rug pull Josh. We honestly need to make him regret he ever did this. But
so
for real,
stupid.
Go give Josh $1 because it's like, honestly, this is the crazy thing.
Yeah.
What he should have done is said, give me $1, period.
No.
I'd have given him $1.
Yeah, but then you want something people think they can game.
True.
You know, people are gonna get lazy. They're not gonna play the long game of pump and dumping Josh.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I think this reveals that, it at least revealed for me that somebody could just ask me for money. I've always thought this about my nieces and nephews. If they knew, they could come up to me like, "Can I have $20?" I'd be like, "Sure."
Yeah.
Yep. Like, I wouldn't even think about it. I'd be like, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, dude, real quick. Okay, Danny. My nephew, Danny, friend of the show. Mm-hmm. We've talked about him before. He's a lovely boy. We love Danny. He's the oldest cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Danny, I go to this other nephew's birthday party the other day. Danny's there, pulls this sheet. It's like clearly printed, a printed Excel spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm. He's got a P&L.
It's an order form. And one half of it is like where he'll writes down like your name and stuff. And the other half is pictures of pillows, this product. And he's like, I'm selling pillows. Do you want to buy pillows? And I was like, oh, cool. For what? And he's like, for my allowance fund. And I'm like, dude, Danny, so you're telling me you're selling pillows for profit? He's like, yeah. I'm like, this is not for school or Boy Scouts. And he's like, nope. He's learning how to make pillows and he's amped about it. He's like, you pick your face color, you pick your back color. I sew it on my grandma's sewing machine. And they cost $25 a piece, which is like a pretty good. He tells me his margins. Yeah. The dude
you
loves
can't do
Shark
better
Tank.
Than that at Tuesday morning. Yeah.
Honestly, he's like, Tuesday morning. Yes. So he tells me his margins. He's like, I'm at a 60% margin. I'm like,
that's a good margin.
That's a pretty freaking good. He knew the words cost landed. I don't know what I
asked. As though they're coming from China.
As if he's outsourcing this, which he should be soon. But he's literally, dude, this guy. So we start actually like brainstorming
Does he have a rate for his own labor?
Right. So that's, well, so there's some holes in the plot here.
Right.
Yeah. Danny's putting in a lot of, you know, putting a lot of manpower here.
A lot of sweat equity.
Sweat equity. Exactly. So
hashtag sweaty startups.
This dude is 10 years old or 11.
Hashtag sweatshop startups.
Yeah. That's how America was built, baby.
Just kids and sewing machines.
Kids, dude. Okay. I'll be an investor in Danny's pillow business. First move, hiring his classmates.
Yeah. Get 10 or 12 other kids in front of sewing machines. Then we can talk.
Wait, we don't have enough space in my upstairs. Where do we put
them? In the basement.
The basement. That's right.
Goddamn triangle shirtwaist fire.
Oh, dude. And we can't have the windows open because we'll lose all the heat.
Yeah, exactly.
So
gotta keep the heat in, keep the kids in.
Nimble fingers, baby. Good for sewing. Dude, I feel like we just pretty much shout out two awesome business ideas.
You can't afford not to listen to this podcast.
Seriously, dude. You know what I'm so sick of hearing? Podcast talking about making money, how to make money, business ideas. Because they're all the same. This is the different stuff. This is the good stuff.
This is real stuff. Yeah. Everyone's talking about, oh, how to get to 10K MRR.
Yeah. Oh,
get
my gosh.
Get out of here.
Yes. This get is boots on the ground. Mm-hmm. Get out your sewing machine.
Well, little grubby feet on the ground.
Little grubby bare feet on the ground is what we're talking about.
In my basement.
Ripped off bottom of pant legs feet.
Uh-huh. Please, sir, may I have some more? Look
that
at
that kind of yes, as I'm talking about.
Yes.
Call
me Fagan. Let's go.
So yeah, we need to do that. But you know, Daniel, this whole—I don't know if it's just because now I'm a hustle bro.
Mm-hmm.
But is it just like everything? Is everybody's goals way too high, or is that a good thing? Just feels like everybody's talking about way more money than they were ever talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, once you start being in the game a little bit.
Is that just how it is? Like,
well, it's just like the numbers have to be higher.
I agree.
You thought they had to be.
I know. It's true.
You thought $100,000 a year was going to be enough dollars.
I guess I'm
like,
just
oh, no,
wondering
actually,
how.
It's $200,000. And you're like, I thought it was going to be $200,000 was enough, but it's not.
Yeah.
You need more. And like, here's an example. I'm making less than I made a year ago. And my business has done about $500,000 in the past calendar year.
That's
and
pretty sweet.
I'm making less than I made a year ago.
Pretty sweet, man.
$500,000 in revenue. But
when people value businesses, this is like a very basic question that I'm sure you know the answer to. When people value businesses, you know, you're like 3X multiple and stuff. That's on revenue, right?
That's on revenue, top line.
So two different companies can have wildly different profit margins.
Yes.
Does that not get factored in?
It certainly does.
How come it's not profit multiple? Why is anybody talking about a revenue multiple?
Because they're talking about like software businesses where they're basically like, well, eventually we can just fire everybody and cut our costs super low. So like we're assuming that okay. your costs are higher than they need to be right now. We're going to buy you and then cut all your costs.
Okay. So normal businesses, when people are valuing businesses, they're still speaking in terms of revenue multiples, right?
I don't know. I mean, like, I think, are you talking about like if someone was buying an agency?
No, if somebody was buying Coca-Cola.
Oh, I don't know.
You know, because I think I heard somebody say something about a profit multiple and I was like, wait a second. Yeah. How come we're not talking profit multiples? Mm-hmm. You know, because my business is way more valuable than an agent than an agency making the same amount of money, because if mm-hmm. you own my business, you get all the money.
Uh-huh.
If you own the agency, well, you got to pay all the people.
You have to be you.
Well,
you
there's other issues with my business. I'm not saying there's not.
If you get my business and you're me,
if
you
didn't have
money.
To be me, you know, but like what, profit doesn't matter. I don't know. It's just an interesting thing. I feel like, yeah. Okay.
I
anyway,
agree.
So thanks for clearing that up, Daniel. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a lot to get through.
We got a lot to get through.
And puking.
Shitting and puking. Let's get gross.
Daniel asked me if I wanted to hear about shitting and puking or something like that. And I said, save it for the show, Daniel.
Yeah, save it for the show. So yeah, went to India. I don't know if you've ever been there. Quite a place.
Never been.
A lot going on. A lot going on in India. but one of the things that's going on is microbes. There's microbes going on in India, and they are in the water. And you got to be careful.
So from what I... you know, have heard about places like this, and it's the same thing with even like Mexico. You just mm-hmm. you drink bottled water and you be real careful about that, and you don't have ice and stuff, and then you live. But that is that not what happened?
Boy, let me tell you, I never drank a water that wasn't bottled, and I never had an ice.
Yep.
Okay. So you would think I never brushed my teeth from a faucet.
Yeah.
I always brush my teeth with bottled water. I never opened my mouth in the shower.
Okay.
And never introduced plumbing water to my mouth. So that didn't happen. So that's like a
line. Is it in the sauces? What did you have that wasn't cooked at a high heat?
Okay. So then there's this question of like raw produce could potentially be washed in bad water.
Right.
And then, you know, whatever. I don't think I had any raw produce, but it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know, maybe I had like something that had some raw lettuce in it and I didn't know, you know?
Right.
So that's like hard to say. I had a lot of curries and a lot of breads.
Yeah.
Later, I did see some guys touching some food with no gloves that made me a little concernicus.
Yeah.
Because I was like, who knows what else? They're probably washing their hands in the bad water than touching the, you know, whatever. Sure. So who knows what's up with that? I don't know is the answer. What I do know is every single foreign speaker got sick. Everybody got sick.
So
we all got sick.
Okay.
And everyone got sick first, then I got sick. So I was so careful, so smart. I don't drink, so I wasn't drinking drinks at the speaker dinner.
Right.
I was just drinking Coca-Colas out of cans.
Yes.
Which is, you know, safe as can be.
Safe.
So I'm just there drinking Cokes out of cans. Everyone else I saw drinking these little cocktails with ice in them. And I was like, guys, you don't want to be doing that. And then a few of them were like, oh, bah humbug, I can do what I want. And then
they were
some
the first
of them
to
were
go,
like,
no doubt.
Some of them were like, oh, smart thinking, Daniel. You must have smart friends who advised you. And I was like, mm-hmm. So then next morning, or that evening, we go back after the speaker dinner. Mm-hmm. Charlotte's puking.
Ah.
Charlotte's puking. Then I'm seeing stuff in the Telegram chat with all the other speakers. Everyone's sick. People are sick. People are outside, sitting outside their rooms, just puking in a group.
Why sitting outside their rooms?
Because I guess they wanted to be outside, and then they were just like, let's just sit out here together and puke.
Yeah.
So that was what was happening. And so...
wait, I want to know who was in that puke party.
It might be HIPAA.
Oh,
it
might be
HIPAA.
We can't say.
I don't know. I don't want to embarrass people.
Okay.
I don't want to
talk
about the puking of others.
Okay. No, I think that's a good call. To me, that would be more of a badge of honor. It's like, not only are you sick as a dog, you're hanging out still.
Yeah.
You know?
There was a puke party, and if they want to surface themselves, they can surface themselves.
Okay.
I wasn't in the puke party. So anyway, I get to the venue for my talk. I have the second talk of the conference. So Frake goes up, sick, gives the talk anyway because he's a goddamn professional. So
wild.
I'm amazed by Frake. He goes up and just kills it. First guy.
Okay.
I'm second guy. I go up, do my talk, come down. I'm like, oh, I'm tired. I was up all night. Charlotte was puking. I'm going to go back to the room and nap.
Yeah.
Go back to the room, just projectile vomited.
There you go.
As soon as I got back to the room, I hadn't vomited in a decade, Caleb.
Wow, yeah.
I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but I was very proud of the fact I hadn't puked in years.
Yeah, I don't think we have talked about puke timelines.
Okay, well, yeah. I got sober in 2013, and I know for sure I hadn't puked since then.
Yeah.
That's
a big perk of getting sober, huh?
Yeah, less puking than...
Not as much puking as before.
Especially if you're drinking to the extent that I was beforehand, where you were puking quite often.
Sure.
Yeah, big lifestyle upgrade.
Big upgrade.
So yeah, anyway, that was cool. So anyway, I got sick. Charlotte got sick. The room we were in... So the first night we stayed in this amazing, beautiful hotel. Then we moved to a different hotel that was like right next to the venue.
Okay.
And it was more of like a... It wasn't really a hotel. It was like, they called it a resort, but they were like these buildings that had like four or five rooms in them.
Yeah.
Kind of cottagey type vibes. And they had like, you know, those like window split AC units.
Yeah.
Well, ours was like blowing little flecks of black moldy stuff out of it. I didn't like, so we turned it off because it was gross.
Okay.
So we're just in this room and it had a pretty hard, uncomfortable mattress.
Okay.
So we're both in this room just sweating and puking and
she's still puking.
She's puking. I'm puking. It's going both way. I only went one way. She went both.
Oh, bummer.
It was a bad time in there. Everything's wet. And they were being insanely stingy with the water. Like we would call them and say
for bottles of water.
Yeah. We'd call the front desk and be like, could we please have bottles of water?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, totally. And they would come, and it would be like maybe a total of like three Aquafina small bottles of water, sized bottles of water. So then we would fucking chug them because we needed them.
Right.
And then we'd call back with six of them, please, six bottles of water. And we're like, okay, six bottles, but they're smaller bottles now. Like, come on, yo. Like, what are we doing here? So we're just like, just dying, not getting enough water, blah, blah, blah. Brutal. Eventually, we were feeling better. We went back for like the end of day two of the conference.
Okay.
And then we booked another hotel and just got out of there because we were like, I just want to go be somewhere nice with a soft bed and AC and infinite water.
Right.
And so we did that and it was great.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we did the Holi Festival and then we came home.
So how long were you sick?
Probably 2 days, day and a half.
Day and a half. And how long was Charlotte sick?
2 days.
Okay.
Like half a day longer.
And
than me.
Same. So a lot of the foreign speakers, did people show up to where there's like holes in this, in the conference now? Cause like people were,
everyone did their talk.
Wow.
I was shocked and like people were not feeling good and they did them anyway.
That's
so
bizarre.
Yeah. I was lucky cause I didn't start feeling bad until after my talk.
I'm not sure I could do that.
Yeah. If I was a bunch of pros, dude.
That's crazy.
Like Rissa was like feeling terrible right before her talk. I was sitting backstage talking to her. She was not feeling good. And then she just went up and did her talk.
I want to throw up when I'm not sick. And about to give a talk.
I'll throw up right now.
Yeah. I want to throw up pretty much every time I give a talk. If I actually had like freaking, you know, dysentery, Giardia going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bummer. That's a real bummer with these weak white stomachs, you know?
Yeah.
Just weak as hell, man.
Weak as hell.
Can't handle it.
Ah. Yep.
Well, there you go. That summer camp I worked at, which was every year people, there would be like a sick week, you know, because one person gets sick, everybody's getting sick. What the hell is that? Dude, can I do that? No. Daniel gave me a thumbs up and then fireworks went off. Bye. He's giving me one thumb up and there's bubbles. Dude, you're on your iPhone thing. Your iPhone does something. Mine's not doing anything. Okay. Daniel, that summer camp that I worked at, every year people get sick like 1 week. But every like 3 years, there would be a real death week. We call it death week. and everybody would get sick. And it would be the most brutal, some of the most like brutal, insane stuff. But because there's nowhere to go. There's no private rooms. Everybody would just get quarantined. We called it the A building, the activities building, this basement, basically. You were quarantined to.
And that's where the, that's where the sewing machines are.
You would just like, I remember one time going down to give them like supplies. And there's just, you know, 10 guys outside on the grass, just getting some sun, throwing up, you know, just puking. Like you're talking to them and then they're just throwing up. Another one's just like heaving over like the grass, you know, and then inside's even worse. Dude, freaking horrible. So anyway, I just wanted to thought of camp.
Yeah. It's team sickness.
Team sickness, man. Not for me.
Not for anyone.
Blech.
So anyway, yeah, that was rough. Okay. We did the Holi Festival. That was super awesome.
So it's pronounced Holi?
Holi.
Okay.
But everyone else did it like at the like official Laracon sponsored Holi gathering.
Yeah.
We had already moved on to our new hotel because we were trying to get the hell out of Dodge.
Right.
And so we were like right downtown.
Yeah.
And so we just like went out in the streets and just did it. And it was awesome.
Cool.
There's just like everyone's got like little bags of colored powder. And they're just like,
sweet,
happy Holi, and then just like smearing shit on your face and like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so there's a picture on Twitter. We were like totally covered in kinds of colors and stuff. It was crazy. And then there's little kids on the roofs. So it's super narrow streets. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen like what buildings look like in India, but it's kind of like someone built a row of buildings and then someone built another row of buildings on top of it. And then someone built another row of buildings on top of that.
Huh.
You know, like it just seems like very like,
I don't know,
precarious. Like the buildings might fall like over at some point.
Like almost like a parking garage, but with buildings in each floor. Like they have like concrete.
No, it's sort just of... that like, it's just that, like the faces of the buildings aren't flat. It's like they kind of like.
Sure. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just so anyway.
Stacking buildings.
Stacking stuff on top of itself.
Yeah.
So there's these little gangs of kids. Yeah. Who would just like sit up on top of the buildings with water balloons and buckets of water and just pelt people. And you're like, you have to go through this funnel. Like there's no way past them. It's a narrow street. So they loved to hit me with water balloons. I was a prime target. They're just like, look at this big white dude. Yeah, throw shit at him. And so I got like wrecked by water balloons.
You're hard
stuff.
Not to
hit. It was a
good
time. Yeah.
Yeah. They kept trying to shoot over you. Yeah. That's cool, man. That's a wild experience.
Yeah, it was good.
India, bro. That's cool.
Yeah. It was a blast. I'm glad I went. It took a long time to get there and a long time to get back.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I went.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a fun time. The conference organizers are great. Incredible pros. They have an amount of energy that is just kind of insane.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got that much energy.
Okay.
They are, these people love like EDM.
Oh yeah.
So much.
Sweet.
And so, I have this video of like leading up to the beginning of the conference. Yeah. There's like a countdown. It's like 2 minutes, 1 minute on the screen.
Uh-huh.
And the music playing is just like the most like sweaty 4 a.m. like hard style club music. It's just like, doof, doof, doof. It's like, holy shit. Like, it was crazy. The energy was wild.
Cool. I did a bunch of, I used to do a bunch of Indian weddings when I shot weddings. And they were always, there were a bunch of really cool things about them that we just loved. The food being one of them, but everybody danced, you know, danced. And the cool thing about it, there's no like good dancing and bad dancing. So you never felt like, you know, like at American stuff.
I danced at the end.
Did you? Well, yeah, because everybody's the way they're dancing is not technical or anything, right?
Yeah.
It's just we're all moving our bodies and having fun.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like at an American thing, it's like the people who know how to dance are dancing and silently shaming everybody who doesn't know how to dance, you know?
Yeah.
But the Indians, they know how to, they love to dance, and it's very like all ages,
they
all genders, and that's sweet.
Yeah, it was a good time.
That's cool. Sweet, sweet.
Sweet, 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 sweet.
What was the Liveway representation at Laracon India? Asking for a friend. Any
asking
talks?
For a friend.
Any mentions?
There, Definitely mentions. I don't think there were any LiveWire specific talks.
Do the Indians like LiveWire?
I think so. People I talk to use LiveWire.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, you should probably go out there and convert them.
Right.
Just, you know, maybe bring some graham crackers or whatever. But yeah, it was a good time. Graham crackers. Graham crackers is funny. I don't know why.
That's funny. Tell me you didn't gnaw on graham crackers in Sunday school when you were a wee lad.
Dude, we love graham crackers.
That's
especially
like
cinnamon.
They
grams.
Must have got some. Ooh. Oh, that was the good stuff. You're right, dude. Oh man, they must have had a hookup or something with graham. Graham cracker must have been like really integrated in the church.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, graham is among the saints.
Yeah, graham crackers. Man.
So soup season.
It's just soup season.
It's soup season. You were eating soup right before this. It's also sales season. We've decided internally we have something called sales season.
Okay.
It corresponds to soup season.
Okay.
So we're in sales season. So we have like something rolling off end of April. We have another thing rolling off end of May. So we've got to like fill some spots in the roster, right?
Yeah.
And I have a theory.
Okay.
So I'm calling it temporarily. This is the name. Cohort two. So I am trying to take advantage of this moment where like we have money.
How much money do you have?
We've been saving aggressively.
Is it more than $10,000?
Yeah.
Is it more than 50?
Yeah.
Wait, you talk about this openly on your podcast, right? Because you guys have boxes. The first have 100K in the bank or something.
Yeah. So
okay.
if you count invoices that we currently have out that are not paid. Everyone is paid right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Although John and I are going to get paid in 2 days. But after that, everyone's paid.
Yep.
And if you count the invoices we currently have out, we should have about 100K.
Okay.
So we have money.
Yep.
We can afford to pay people. We could, you know, our monthly nut is around like 35K or something, right?
Okay. What's
so like
monthly nut?
That's like how much money we have to come up with every month to pay everyone.
Yeah.
You know? So like
I like that.
So we've got like 3 months of everyone in the bank, basically, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so you know, the world doesn't end if we don't immediately replace these contracts, right?
Yeah, but you're just burning money.
Yeah, you're burning money. We have things internally we want to be working on, so like it could be fine.
Okay.
But like I want to take this opportunity a little bit to design our next set of long-term projects a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to like target a specific type of project.
Briefly about your name Cohort 2. I forget who I was watching. Somebody, and they said, they were like, and don't say cohort. Don't ever say cohort. There's no reason to ever say cohort. Say group. Drop it. No, I totally support cohort two.
But cohort two, it could have a different name.
No, it's like, great. Cohort.
What I'm trying to imply.
I was like,
I
liked cohort.
This is the class of 2024. This is the Thunk class of 2024.
Oh, class of 2024. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's kind
of
cool.
Or the class of the second half of 2024.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know?
All right, anyway.
Class of Q2 of 2024.
I'm derailing you. Let's design your cohort two.
So cohort two, I want to target only projects that are like in our exact sights of things that we think we do better than other people.
Yeah.
Right? And only the types of projects that I want more of, right? And so like here's the three. And like you tell me what you think about this. Big complex LiveWire projects. So I'm talking like your whole UI of your complex web app is LiveWire, right?
Yep.
Like everything's LiveWire. You've got whatever, nested components and
you're all
LiveWired big forms. Out. You've got dynamic stuff going on.
Yeah.
You've got everything. We want to eat that with you.
Yeah.
MVPs that need to build insanely fast. So this is something that we did really well recently. So someone came to us with a 10-week scope. We did it in 3 weeks.
Yep.
And then we spent the rest of the time making it even better. And then they've re-signed and re-signed and re-signed.
Lovely.
So now we've been with these guys for like 4 months or something.
That's great. Dude, how do you turn that into a testimonial and whatever?
I'm going to get testimonials. This is all going.
You got to get that case study going.
The branding for cohort two is basically like, this is what we want to be doing. Here's testimonials from people we just did it for.
Yeah.
And like, here's the types of things we're targeting. So big complex live wire projects, MVPs that need to build insanely fast.
Yeah.
And then complex process driven apps. So that's like invoicing, orders, inventory management.
Because
event sourcing.
Hey, yo.
But like also like we just have like right now we're building invoicing for two separate clients. Like these are just project problems we've solved a lot.
Yeah.
And like I think we're good at them.
Yep.
And they're hard.
Yep.
Like they're hard. People do them wrong and we've done them right several times.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, these are the three things I'm targeting. So I think what I'm going to do is basically write a manifesto.
Okay.
About like, here's what we want to do. Here's why. And also the other thing about the complex process driven apps and the big complex live wire apps and the MVPs, honestly, is having product in house is like so insanely powerful. And like, I feel like we're so much better at like building the right thing than other people are.
Yeah.
You know, like we can like build the right thing really well. So anyway, I want to like manifesto this up. Get like the talking points right, yep. right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically communicate like, here's who we are. Here's what we have done recently. Here's what we want to do next. Here's testimonials that say that we can do these things that we want to do next really well.
Yeah.
Here's our time frames. Like, do you know someone who has this need? Pass them along this landing page. Like, this is the landing page for like, you know, class of 2024 or cohort two or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Like pass this thing along because like, this is what we're looking for, and almost treat it like a hiring page.
Yeah.
More than like a,
it's cool.
Like a intake thing.
Sure.
Cause it's like, look, we have had no trouble filling our plate with stuff.
Yeah.
Right. We can get people to pay us our rate to work on stuff for hours.
Yeah.
And that's actually fine. In fact, like our rate seems to be like the least important part of this.
Okay.
Like we've been able to just bump our rate higher and higher and higher. No one objects ever.
Cool.
It's so weird. But the thing that we want is basically like people who have a sizable problem, who want to like invest in solving it well, and they know that it's like a longer journey.
Yeah.
Right. And who want like us to help them solve it with them, right? And so that means like figuring out what there is to build, planning it really well, like making the strategic decisions about like the order to build things in, and then like the technical approach to building it.
Yeah.
And sort of like having all those conversations together, and then the actual implementation stuff. So anyway, I want to like hire those projects into Thunk basically, and so I'm going to try and treat it like a hiring thing. And like, there's a little bit of reverse psychology of like, oh, you get to work, you get to pay us, lucky you.
Yeah.
But like, I do think that like for the right people, we're perfect. And we enjoy working on these types of projects so much more.
Yeah.
Like I just want to like only work on the good ones.
Yeah. You know? Dude,
what do you think about this?
I think it's smart. I think you're branding a booking spree. Like, there's like a
Well, and that's sort of the meta question is like, do you think we can operate in this way where like we just have booking sprees?
Right.
And so like when people are coming to us, we can say like, great. Well, our next like excursion, our next rafting trip
right.
leaves at 3:30. So
I wish it was a yearly block so that you could call it class of 2024. But if it's not, obviously you should.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the branding cohort two. Yeah, just like run your mouth about cohort two, what we're looking for. And like the pitch is like, we're looking to fill, you know, this quarter, basically, for 2024. Here's what we're looking for. If you feel like this is you, reach out, let's chat, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like
I dig it.
I feel like there's like a confidence to it that I like.
Yeah.
And I feel like the confidence is a little bit earned because every month has been our best month.
It's right? entirely earned, yeah. I mean,
I'm just saying, like, from a perspective, like, there's a little bit of a, like, yeah, we don't even need this. Like, if you're good enough for us, we'll let you know type of energy, right, you know, right. Which is like, that's not the implication, but like, I could see someone feeling like it's like, well, yeah, but you need this work to get money, right? And I'm like, yeah I do. But like,
nah, screw
we don't
that.
we don't seem to have trouble like just getting stuff on the books.
Yeah,
right?
This isn't about that. This is about
like getting the right stuff on the books.
Trying to find the right stuff so you're
in the right rhythm. Like the idea of like a rhythm of like we're gonna do like
I like it.
One spree and then another spree.
Yeah. Yep.
And it gives us a chance to like audit what went well last spree. As we're going into the next spree and say, like, is there anything we want to change? Do we want to drop the MVPs and only focus on the process-driven ones? Or do we want to only focus on the MVPs or, like, whatever? Because, like, we're a small enough team that, like, it only takes one or two projects to book us.
Yep.
You know? So, like, we can sort of hold out for the right thing if it's big enough. Yeah. You know? So.
I dig it. Landing page, media, spree, you know, talk about on this pod, you hype it on your pod, get on the Aaron Francis pod, you know,
make it a
push, and make then push. And I guess you might not even have to go that far if somebody listening to this has one of those three needs for the next however many months.
We're still gonna develop, I just don't think we still develop the brand though, because I like the idea of branding that we work in this way.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like we work in this kind of rhythm.
Yeah.
You know,
I like it.
And like, yeah, we'll like fill the cracks with little like one day a week consulting projects.
Right.
But like, we really want to have like one big morsel that we're gnawing on at any given time.
Yeah. Yes. I dig anyway, it, Daniel.
I'm kind of horned up about this idea right now.
I like it a lot. You got to hire a designer or somebody who does design for you.
Nate does design for us. And we have other people we've worked with as well.
Cool.
But yeah, big typography focus, manifesto vibes.
Yes, I'm picturing it. Where each giant section is split immediately in half, and the entire left is like an image, you know, is like,
yeah.
I dig it, Daniel. I just dig it.
Hell
just
yeah,
dig it.
Welcome to 359, Mr. Hard Out at 4 o'clock.
I got a hard on at 4 o'clock. Four to o'clock.
My 4 o'clock hard on. All right, let's go ahead and cue
the
outro music.